This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Here on Tlingit Ani, aka Juno Alaska, we are all buzzing about Rock Ock, the first Indigenous music festival of its kind. If you haven't done so already, please mark your calendars for November 5th and 6th and get ready for 2 days of exciting performances that feature Indigenous artists from Alaska and beyond. Witty Youngman of Anchorage is one of the musicians performing at the fest. She recently spoke with KXLL's Chandra Boom, who is a big fan of Witty's and has followed her career for a long time. Here's some of her interview with Witty that recently aired on KXLL.
I remember the first time I saw you perform in person. I was just like instantly delighted. And then we just instantly made that connection of like, oh yeah, we both know we have this mutual friend. And so I know I wasn't able to catch it because I'm super new to Juno, but I know that you played the People Power show here last spring. So what have you been up to since then?
I did. I've gotten to do some traveling this summer. A group of us went out to McGrath and pulled off the Back to Bluegrass Festival. It was their first concert since everything kind of shut down around Alaska. I also was able to travel to Bethel last month. I pulled off a concert out there as well. That was a solo show, and that was their first music since the beginning of 2020. They've been very protective of their community, and so I was very, very privileged to travel out there and get to meet people and get to explore Bethel. Also, I have been a regular out in Whittier, at the Whittier Inn. During the summertime, they invite musicians to come out and spend the weekend, play music. I've been a regular out in Soldovia at the Boardwalk Hotel. They've been incredibly welcoming for the past two summers for me. Let's see. I also have gained a residency over at Inlet Tower Hotel, over off of Minnesota here in Anchorage. So I've been playing that every Wednesday night from 7 to 10. Yeah, it just feels like this summer went by so fast because I've just been trying to stay busy here in town.
Yeah, holy Bethel. Okay, so I knew about the Bethel show, but McGrath, Whittier, Soldovia, holy smokes. And then Inlet Tower, I know they're always doing super rad stuff there in Anchorage. So you kind of have been to a lot of corners in South Central, but then kind of like expanding down here in Southeast Bethel region. So I'm curious, is there anything different that like that you've noticed that the music scene here in Alaska brings out in your work that maybe wasn't as noticeable back down states?
I would say that I have. So when I was in the Kansas City area, bluegrass was a huge, huge thing out in Lawrence, Kansas, which is where I went to school. And then I came up here, and I was actually surprised at how much bluegrass was up here. Lots of mandolins, lots of banjos. But there wasn't really, a lot of Indigenous representation other than, like, our big guys, like H3 and Famua and Kachung and all that he's been doing. So I think me coming into this this group of this music community, it was kind of like, okay, make a little bit of space for her because I know there is a jazz scene out here, but it's not as big as it was in, like, say, Kansas City area. And so that's where I learned how to perform. That's where I learned how to be a singer. And then I came out here and kind of brought that with me. And I definitely think I made a splash, and I think I make an impression on people because I keep getting invited back to these really great places, and I get invited to play with these really great people. And I'm so excited for the opportunity to even come to Juno. I've never been to Juno, so it's just, it's almost like the world is opening now and music is like ready and willing and able to you know, show up and to speak up.
Yes, we are so excited to have you here in Juneau. I'm super excited to see you play here. And I really am curious to touch more on kind of the different scenes that emerge as an Indigenous artist. But first, let's hear a track from Witty Youngman. The track is Ain't Thinking Straight, and then more from you when we come back. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Ain't Thinking Straight. That's an original one from Witty Youngman. Thanks so much for being here with us today, Witty.
Yeah, it's so cool to hear my music. I mean, I hear it all the time, but it's different.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love it. I love the mouth trumpet every time. It's kind of a surprise that I've been trying to keep under wraps, but I can't help but kind of fangirl over it a little bit. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about Rock Ock. So this is the first year for this Indigenous Music Festival here in Tlingit Nuna. The festival is running November 5th and 6th. Listeners can learn more at www.rockockfestival.org. It's named, of course, for taking place here on Akwan territory and centers Indigenous musicians. So the artists are performing from all over Alaska, coming here to Tlingit Nuna, and then some are performing virtually from Canada and from downstates. There's some really big names in Native pop, like Snotty Nose Rez Kids and the legend Superman. So, Witty, I'm curious, is there anyone who you're most excited to share a stage with?
I was just, when they announced the lineup and seeing, like, my name alongside all of these, like, people that I've heard and, like, listened to and looked up to and, you know, it was incredible. It was an incredible feeling. Like I've known of Snotty Nose Red Kits and Superman for years. In fact, I follow Superman on social media, and so just seeing all of these. Oh, and Porta Fae, which is just this really incredible singer-songwriter activist. I'm excited to see her storytelling and to see her perform too. Just seeing my name alongside all of these really great Indigenous artists, it was like, man, okay. I had to call like my parents and be like, "Yo, I made it! Look."
That's amazing. I'm curious too, if you've noticed a difference in how you feel like participating as an artist in this festival versus maybe other venues or other events that don't center Indigenous artists.
Yeah, it's definitely. Sometimes it doesn't feel real. It's pretty cool that all of these people are coming together to say we have something to say. We all are representing ourselves and our people. We are able to make this happen, and also we hope to do what we love and entertain and to spread our music further than we ever imagined possible. So the fact that it kind of was just an idea, and Kachung had asked if I was interested in something like this, and it was, I couldn't imagine all of the work that had to go into it to get us to this point, which is amazing. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to something like this, especially after the past 18, 20 months that we've had.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you said it, the amount of work that's going on behind the scenes to make the vision that Kachung had happen is like pretty incredible, folks. So huge snaps to him and to others like yourself all around Alaska who have been working at this stuff for so long. The music industry can be sort of a grind, but just speaking on behalf of the fans here, we are so thankful for you doing what you do. And I can't wait to see you guys all sharing a stage together. And here's one more. It's Forget Her Not.
The other way. And I got this feeling you gonna listen to what I gotta sing. Only got your attention for another minute or two. Them to relay this message to you. So many sisters get wronged on a sly every day. They battle between pride and pain, so they tuck it all away. Something's changed her, you can't get her on the phone. Nothing hurts worse than when sister don't make it home. Now a imagine being cornered, feeling so alone. Beauty deep within, but it feels so very long gone. Lights are on upstairs, but you're not home. And the shame keeps you from the ones, the baby girl you should be leaning on.
Thanks to Chandra Boom on KXLL for that interview. She recently caught up with Witty Youngman, a singer and songwriter, and one of the headliners at next week's Rock Ock Music Festival. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Whether on foot or pursuing new goals, Girls on the Run is a program that keeps girls moving forward, all about building confidence and having fun along the way. This Saturday is a prime example where Girls on the Run and Girl Scouts are teaming up for some Halloween fun. So joining us now to talk about what's in the works, we have Natalie Watson with AWARE. She's manager of both Girls on the Run and Boys on the Run. Hi, Natalie.
Hi.
And Jessica DeBartolo, a recruitment specialist for Girl Scouts of Alaska. Hello, Jessica.
Hi.
Well, before we get into the details of the event, Natalie, tell me, what do you enjoy about managing Girls on the Run and Boys on the Run?
Oh, well, actually the most fun part is the fun run. So normally we all have like a 10-week season and the kids will be training all season to complete the fun run. So both those inner and outer skills to be able to do that. We haven't been able to have a season this year because of COVID. So we are offering this fun run. So it's like the best part of both programs. Very excited to offer it.
And Jessica, what has your experience been like teaming up Girl Scouts with Girls on the Run?
It's been a great experience. Natalie is awesome and has really taken the lead on planning this great event for the community. It's really nice that our two girl-empowered programs are able to join up and do this for the community. So we're really looking forward to Saturday and hoping lots of people come out and join us.
Kiddos these days have so little they can do socially and be free of masks and other restrictions. So how have your organizations adjusted to those constraints? Natalie, let's start with you.
Well, when the pandemic started, Girls on the Run International created a whole virtual program, and we were able to launch it in a few communities in Alaska, like Fairbanks, Cordova. But in Juneau, it wasn't a big hit. Instead, we did a virtual E2OCLOTC, and that's the boys run program, but we did it for both genders. And then we really hope to have an in-person season this fall, but we're not able to. So we're really excited about spring. We're really thinking that the in-person teams will be back on and running strong.
Jessica, what would you add to that?
For Girl Scouts, they have been very resilient. At the beginning of the pandemic, the girls were doing lots of virtual meetings with their troops. But now, as we've gotten a little further along, girls are meeting outside more and really taking advantage of our great outdoors here in Alaska. And so it's been great to see their resilience and changing and being flexible with all the changes that have been going on.
Well, at least it's Halloween now, so maybe we can at least have fun with our masks. This weekend's fun run takes place on Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. at Kaktaguwuhin Day. That's Brotherhood Bridge Trail. Costumes are encouraged. And apart from getting the right Halloween costume, how have the students in the program been preparing for this run? Jessica, can I start with you this time?
Well, this is a little bit different than in the past. We're just putting on this event, and so hopefully the kids have been outside and being active in our nice rainy weather we've been having with those few days of sun. So we're just hoping that families come out and enjoy. It's a little bit shorter than the normal 5K that the Girls on the Run program does. So we're hoping that they will just come out and enjoy it as a family, to get out and enjoy the Halloween festivities that are going on.
I see what you're saying now. They haven't been participating in weekly or more than once a week little get-togethers where they run and practice other things and have the classroom time as well. Is that right, Natalie?
Yeah, that's correct. So No, the girls have not been training for this, but it should be totally doable. It's about half of a 5K.
What are you both looking forward to the most about Saturday? Natalie, you can start this time.
I'm really excited that we're going to bring so many little activities. We got bouncy houses, hand or palm reading, and lots of cute games and lots of cute little giveaways. The first 50 girls get a gift bag. So I'm excited about that first hour, 2 to 3. And then I'm also excited about this fun run because, you know, Brotherhood Bridge Trail is already a little bit spooky at this time of year. And it just needs a little bit more, maybe Halloween decorations and people maybe wearing costumes if possible to kind of make it even more fun and kind of spooky.
How about you, Jessica? What are you looking forward to for Saturday?
I'm looking forward to our older Girl Scouts that are helping out with this event to see them kind of take that leadership role on. And I'm also looking forward to introducing Girl Scouts and Girls on the Run to new people who might not be familiar with our programs to let them know that we're there and we're ready to help and serve their girls if they are interested.
The Fun Run, as we mentioned, is this Saturday, October 30th, starts at 2 o'clock. What do families need to know if they want to attend?
They need to bring a mask and their running shoes. So like the indoor, the covered area, the covered court, they will want a mask there. And then they won't need it for the run. And then, of course, the running shoes and parents or family members are expected to accompany their girls on the run, so they will need their running shoes. And that's really all they need. We'll sign them in when they get there. We are looking for volunteers, though, so if anybody's up for sharing a couple Halloween decorations or just coming and helping out, you can visit tinyurl.com/funrunhalloween or just look us up on Facebook. It's all over Facebook, so you'll find that link.
That's great. And is there a meeting area? You mentioned the something that sounded like a meeting area. Could you say more about that?
Yeah, it's the covered court behind Riverbend Elementary. There's a really nice space there that's protected from rain and wind, but still kind of with fresh air moving on through.
Do children have to be enrolled in your program to attend the Fun Run?
Not at all. No, this is open to all girls in Juneau and their families, and we won't turn any boys away either.
If someone listening wants to attend this Fun Run, of course, but perhaps sign up for Girls on the Run or Boys on the Run or find out more information, how might they go about that?
Oh, we have a website for Girls on the Run. It's GOTRGreaterAlaska.org. And then our Boys Run Itawuklatsin website is boysrun.org. And they should stay tuned because we hope to be offering both these programs in as many Juneau schools as possible. We'll just need a lot of volunteer coaches.
Got it. So after this Fun Run, you might be taking a little break, but Jessica, what are the Girl Scouts going to be up to?
Well, the Girl Scouts, our next big thing that we have going on, of course, is cookie sales coming in January. We are always continually signing girls up, so there's no timeline for that. So hopefully we'll find some new girls interested in Girl Scouts and want to join us, and we will help them find a troop or start a troop if that is what we need to do. And then hopefully we'll have lots of yummy cookies going in January. There's a new Adventureful cookie coming out that's a brownie and caramel filled, so I think everyone is looking forward to that and trying those.
Yeah, heck yeah, save me a box of those. While I've got you here, I'm kind of curious. I've spoken with Scouts of America a few times on this show and how they've opened up their program to be co-ed. Have you had any of your Girl Scouts join Scouts of America?
You know, I'm not really sure. There might be some that have. We just really focus on Girl Scouts. Our purpose is, you know, really empowering girls to learn to be leaders and find their place in the world. And so that's our focus. And, you know, we're happy to have any girl that would like to join us.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you both for doing what you do. I think both those programs are really great for girls and for the boys who participate as well. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye today?
I just want to say, don't tell my boss, but I would do this for free. This is so much fun. I can't believe I get paid to put on a Halloween fun run.
I won't tell. Jessica, I think you get the last word.
Just please come out and enjoy this great event. I think it will be lots of fun, and it's outside, so we should have lots of good social distancing for everyone to come and enjoy.
Well, best of luck to you both. I hope you have a great turnout, and I hope that everyone has a lot of fun on the fun run. So thanks again for coordinating, and have a great time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. We know that yoga can train the body, but what can it do for the heart and soul and the mind? Rainforest Yoga has some workshops to help you get in touch with your inner self. Joining us now, we have a couple of devotees. Tammy Davis, you're the president and long-term Rainforest Yoga instructor. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us, Shelley.
Sure. And Jo Marie Alba, board member. Hi, Jo Marie.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Jo Marie, let's start with you. How long have you been a member of the board of Rainforest Yoga? What was important to you about joining?
Oh, I am brand new to the board. I believe I started in March was when I joined. When I was approached by the current board members, they asked me and I immediately said yes, just because Rainforest Yoga, when I first moved to Juneau, welcomed me like immediately day one. And I liked the idea that they offered a pay what you can option for students entering the studio. And when I first would go to the studio, I was a college student. So money was, pretty strapped. And as I continued to go, I saw that the instructors were not really there to make money. The instructors were for sure there to increase the yoga community in Juneau. And they knew I was a student, and all of them said, like, Jo Marie, don't worry about paying. We're just happy that you're here. And years later, when they finally asked me, they're like, do you want to join the board? I said, yeah, of course, I would love to. I want to give back to the community that, has helped me in so many ways.
That's wonderful. And what does yoga do for you? How did it maybe help you through those mean student years?
Oh, in so many ways, I learned how to be more present and to really it helped with a lot of my anxiety that I experienced as a student, because my mind's always just like constantly on about needing to do this or that project or this or that homework. And going to two or three classes a week, it was like my chance to just sit there and be completely present, not think about anything else other than just thinking about how my breath felt in my lungs and how this particular stretch was doing for my body. And it was really just a nice opportunity to reset.
And that's great. Also joining us, we have Mary Capobianco. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm glad you could join us. Also a member of the board for Rainforest Yoga. So thanks all three of you for being here today. I know you want to talk about some workshops. Before we get into that, I just wanted to ask, how are things going at the studio? Are you currently open for in-person classes?
Who wants to answer that?
Oh, I'll take that. This is Tammy Davis, and yes, I am the president of the Rainforest Yoga Board. And Rainforest is hanging in there. We are a nonprofit, a 501c3 nonprofit. Yoga studio, I think the only one in Juneau. And we do have classes going now. We have a virtual class on Monday evenings. And we have a Thursday evening class with a long-term teacher. So sorry, Monday night is with Bev Ingram. That's a virtual class. Thursdays with
Lindsay Bloom.
Thank you. Sorry, her first name escaped me. Lindsay Bloom. She's a long-term teacher also. And then I teach on Sundays at 10 a.m. We also have a new teacher coming on board starting on November 2nd. And so we're happy to have her. Mary, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about Alicia's new class.
Please go ahead.
I'm sorry, who are you talking to?
Mary.
Oh, I unfortunately don't have a whole lot of information about her new class, other than it's going to be in the studio. You have to be vaccinated, you have to wear a mask to come. And having gone to a class earlier, I mean, I've been doing, like most people, virtual stuff, and did go to a couple of classes that were open for if you were vaccinated and you would wear a mask. And I was kind of concerned about the mask, and it turned out to be not really an issue at all. And so I just kind of wanted to put that little plug in for those who are going, I can't, you actually can, and it's not all that bad. And so, anyway, I think it's it isn't as bad as it seems. So,
Does Rainforest Yoga specialize in a certain type of yoga?
No, it doesn't. We've got classes of various styles, different lineage. I know Lindsay's class is considered a forest yoga class, and that's the lineage. Bev and I probably have some similarities, just in that we have a background in Iyengar yoga, so very alignment focused. I sort of add in an element of vinyasa, which is a little more physical, a little more active.
Alicia's class, our new class that we are going to start offering next month on Tuesdays, her classes are going to focus on restorative yoga and gentle yoga.
My favorite kind of yoga.
Yeah. So not specific to the studio, but more to the instructor.
Right.
Great.
And I think one of the things, I'm sorry.
Please go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think one of the things that I have appreciated about going to the classes at the yoga student, Rainforest Yoga, over the years has been that each of the teachers that you have is more than willing to adapt whatever they're doing to what you need or what you can or cannot do or don't feel like you can or cannot do. And so I think it makes it really welcoming and makes you feel very safe about what you're trying to do.
That's great. Well, you're also here today to talk about some upcoming workshops. These sound really exciting. I know this is the second time that your two featured instructors have offered this workshop, and it's virtual. So tell me a little bit about what Serena Miller and Carly Forrest, probably no relation to Forrest Yoga, are going to be presenting in their workshop.
Well, the name of the workshop, I'm just going to start and then everybody else can kind of roll in. The name of the workshop is Deepening the Marriage of Mystery and Meaning. And it will be on Friday night from 5 to 7. And then there will be two sessions on Saturday, all live streamed, all virtual. Sarana has done a virtual workshop through her place in Haines for the past year and a half during the pandemic. And focused on, you know, being mindful of where you are, being respectful of where you are, being respectful of your body. So I think that combination of the two of them with a little bit of the kind of meditation, along with the yoga, is just a really nice way of kind of easing into fall, settling yourself down as we, you know, because fall is the time when we kind of settle everything down. And I think that's a really nice way of helping for those of us who sometimes need help, you know, relaxing a little bit, relaxing into it. So I'm not sure what else you all want to talk about Sarana in the workshop.
The date.
I'll just add that it's, yeah, November 12th and 13th. So again, Friday and Saturday, with two sessions on Saturday. And Rainforest Yoga has a long relationship with Sarana. She's done in-person workshops over the years. And then, as Mary mentioned, virtual teaching. Last year, she also did a virtual workshop through Rainforest. And for all of the singers in Juneau that maybe don't tie yoga with singing, Sarana does some lovely kirtan, which is yoga singing, basically chanting, but with song. And she has a lovely voice, and it's a really nice way to connect your voice, mind, body, spirit, with the group, even if it's virtual. And just a really nice energy. I haven't practiced with Carly Forrest in the past, so I don't know much about her except for what they've provided.
Jo Marie, what would you add?
Sure. I wanted to add that the times for Friday, it's at 5:00, and for Saturday, November 13th, they're at 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. I also wanted to add that, to reiterate, the workshop is virtual, and each session is $40 for members of the studio, and it's $45 for non-members.
How long is each session?
2 hours, I think.
They're two, yeah.
Yeah.
2 hours usually there's some kind of little break in there, and you can always, I mean, obviously, if you're on a virtual thing, you can, you know, take a break if you need to.
Carly Forrest is also billed as being both an endorsed Insight yoga teacher and an accredited Enneagram teacher. What are both of those things? I'm getting a lot of head shaking.
That's a great question.
We'll have to come back after the workshop and answer your questions, Joe. Sorry.
I do know a little. Go ahead.
No, I just know. I went to a part of one of Carly's workshops in which she does kind of guide you through some meditation and really talks about, or at this particular thing, you know, talked about kind of ways of thinking about things, ways of looking at things, you know, ways of bringing some of that stuff inward. And so, to the other questions, I don't have any answers either.
Well, are you all hoping that folks will sign up for one individual session, or is it the idea that you would take all three as a series over the course of the weekend?
I think they're designed so that you can, you know, buy all three, come to all three. That would obviously be, you know, what I think the workshop providers would think would be the best result for you. But I know people have very busy lives and have families and everything. And so if you only feel like you can dip into Friday night, you know, the beginning thing, that's great. If you can only dip in, you can't go Friday, but you can go one or both on Saturday, that's great also. So it's designed when you register, you can register each of them as a separate unit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, when we were only doing workshops in person, I can tell you Friday evenings were always sold out. We don't really, a lot of us don't work in our workplace anymore. We don't necessarily have the same 9-to-5 crunch because of COVID. So maybe we don't feel like we need to decompress so much on a Friday, but that's usually a lovely way to kind of sink in after a busy week.
I would I would argue that sometimes working from home is just as stressful and compressing. And it's nice that you can just go from maybe, you know, sign off on your workday and sign on to a yoga session. I love that. Mm-hmm. It's not all been bad. And again, the weekend, the dates are November 12th and 13th. There are three sessions. I found your website to be very clear with all the information. So I would urge our listeners to go there if they want to find out more or register. Will the studio be adding more classes in the future? I know we talked a little bit about Alicia. How do you see the next 6 months unfolding?
Well, we have the new instructor coming on in November. We're working on getting additional workshops with people from, we have a woman who is has been here before doing a workshop, and we're working with her on trying to do something in late March, and then something possibly in January with another instructor from Anchorage. And who knows, maybe by March, the end of March, when one of them is coming, maybe we'll be able to do a workshop live. We don't know, but we're pursuing that. So I think we would like to have more classes and serve the community more. You know, part of it is just with COVID and everything, you know, it's taken a real, it's been a challenge like everybody else has to provide services and be safe.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you talking with me today, Jo Marie, Tammy, and Mary from Rainforest Yoga. Thank you for sharing all that information. Best of luck with the upcoming workshops. Is there anything else that anybody wants to share before we say goodbye today?
Yeah, totally. So I would like to add that our classes are pay what you can. To do that, you can go to our website, which is rainforestyoga.org, or you can find us on the MindBody app. In the past, when the studio was pretty much all drop-in, patrons would come in and drop their money into the basket. And because of COVID and the limitations that we have on the studio, we ask students to pre-register, and you can do that by selecting to pay the suggested fee on the website, or select zero, and then when you arrive to the class, drop in whatever dollars that you can into the basket. If you are a member of the studio, you can purchase classes at a reduced rate, where it's about $100 for an 8-class package. So that reduces the cost of a drop-in class by about $2. If people are interested in becoming members of the studio, they can pay a $35 annual fee. And the money that we utilize that money to generate, to pay for studio operations, teacher trainings, bringing in guest teachers. And we also utilize a part of that membership revenue to offer scholarships to our members. They can use that to pay for workshops as well. What else? Oh, and you can find us upstairs from the Gold Town Nickelodeon. So you go up the stairs, go down the hallway, and we're on your left side past the Shambhala Center. And yeah, rainforestyoga.org, or find us on the MindBody app.
Excellent. Well, thank you again so much, you three, for checking in with Rainforest Yoga. I always love to hear from you all. So thanks so much.
Thank
I hope you have
so
a great
much.
Afternoon.
You also. Thank you so much.